But it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and feel God's presence. And it seems like that here is a place that we take an opportunity and we shut the world out for just a few minutes. We open our hearts, we open our spiritual minds to the voice of God, to His presence. And for the next little bit, we have the opportunity to be real sensitive to the presence of God and to respond in the way that God needs us to respond in our Christian life. Hey, there is nothing wrong with realizing that you need help from God. Each and every day, I find myself in a place that I need help from God, whether it's forgiveness of sin, whether it's strength, whether it's that I need to be walking closer with Him. I find myself in a place that I need help from God. Here's the thing. We get to a place that we find ourselves in a place that we need help from God, and instead of running to God, we try to battle back ourselves. And we try to say, well, if I do this a little more, if I read a little more, if I pray a little more, and those things are important. We need to be doing that in our spiritual life to help us to stay where we need to be. But we keep saying, well, if I. Well, let me tell you something. Take you out of the equation for just a minute and surrender yourself unto God and let God handle whatever situation that you're in, and it will be worked out a lot quicker, a lot better than you could ever work it out yourself. Because if we could work out our problems in our life, we would have already done it. But we can't, so it's time just to surrender them unto God. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me that God will use the message this morning to speak to our hearts and that we'll all leave here a little closer than we were when we came in. Lord, we thank You for this day, God, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I just want to thank You for this opportunity that we have to be in Your house and to be in Your presence. And God, I'm not worthy to try to stand and preach this morning, but I'm glad that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed my sins away, that God, You've placed a calling upon my life, and You have given us an opportunity, God, to get into Your Word for a few minutes this morning. And God, I pray that You'll take me and use me for just a few minutes, that we may bring the Word, God, and that You may speak to our hearts and speak to our lives, God, that when we leave here, we'll be a little closer than we were. And God, I pray if there's one here today that's lost, that today will be the day that they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, we know that You have the finished work by allowing Jesus Christ to come and give His life on the cross at Calvary. And God, now it's up to us. So what are we going to do with that? And God, I pray that You'll help us just to surrender our lives unto You. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. For just a few minutes this morning, we'll get into the scripture here in a little bit. But for a few minutes, I want us to get a few things settled this morning, and I'm going to need your help. I don't know if it's because we have some family members that are not here with us this morning. We have a lot absent, and it does hurt. If you want to know whether people miss you when you're not at church or not, let me go ahead and tell you that people miss you when you're not at church. But this morning, we all seem just a little bit blah. I'll just be straight up with you. We seem just a little bit, we're at church. I want to tell you, we got an opportunity right now. We're in the house of the Lord with our family members in Christ, and we have an opportunity to worship God. And I don't want us to be blah this morning. I don't want us to sit here and go, well, nobody's here, and it seems kind of empty, and it seems... Forget all of that. Pray for the ones that's not here, whether they're on vacation or traveling or whatever, and let's use this opportunity to be together as a family and to worship God. But as we're here this morning, I'm going to need your help with something, so I'm going to help wake you up just a little bit. I'm going to get more amens than I've ever had before because I'm going to force you into it here in just a few minutes. We're sort of a quiet church, and that's okay. You don't have to run the stairs in order to be close to God. You don't have to jump the pews to be close to God, but it's okay sometimes if we want to cut loose just a little bit, if you want to be a little bit vocal, if you want to amen a little bit, if you want to clap a little bit or whatever, I'm going to force you into a little something this morning. And some of you already sitting there going, you ain't going to force me to do nothing. Ain't going to happen. You done stubbed up on me. That's all right. But I need your help for just a few minutes because we need to get some stuff settled before we get into the message this morning. I want you to know that sometimes that we focus so much on ourselves that we forget what God has also called us in to do for others. So let's get some things out of the way this morning. I'm going to ask you a question, and if you affirm, if you agree with me, I'm going to ask you to say amen. We're going to do it all at one time so you won't be all by yourself. Hey, this will give you some good practice. One of these days you might slip up and say amen all by yourself. You might do it. All right, so here, let's work on this. If you agree with me this morning, I'll get to the end of the question in just a minute. If you agree with me that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, that He gave His life on a cross at Calvary, that He rose from the dead, and that one day He's coming again to get born-again believers, will you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Nobody died or nothing. All right. So we got number one settled. Number two, if you believe that all of us are sinners, we're either saved sinners or we're lost sinners. And we must be forgiven of those sins in order to be right with God. And to be forgiven, all we have to do is ask for grace and mercy through Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. Will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're all here this morning. Each and every one of us, we are sinners. Well, preacher, I'm not a sinner. Well, you just sinned. So there you go. You're guilty now. We are all sinners, and you're either a sinner saved by the grace of God, and thank God because of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God that you will not stand guilty of those sins, but we are all sinners this morning, or either you may be here this morning, you may be a sinner that's never been saved. You know, the only difference between you and I is I have taken the opportunity to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. And you can be in that same situation before you leave here today, that you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and he will wash your sins away, and you will no longer be guilty of your sins and your trespasses before God. But we all must receive forgiveness of those sins. I must continue to confess my sin unto Jesus Christ, not for my salvation, but for my relationship with Jesus Christ to be correct and for me to have the great fellowship with him that he desires between he and I. I must continue to confess my sins unto Jesus Christ. Number three, if you agree with me this morning, that there is no problem that you can have that is too big for our God, that he is always with you, he will never leave you, never forsake you, and go with you all the way, even to the end of the world, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we come into church so many times and we're searching for help from God for a situation that we're in, for sometimes a self-created situation. So many times, there's times in my life, I had a guy come to me just this week. And he said, hey, I need you to pray with me. I don't feel like I'm where I need to be with God. I don't feel like I'm reading and praying like I should. He come to me and he said, hey, I don't feel like my relationship with God is where it's supposed to be. Well, if you're here this morning and you don't feel like your relationship with God is where it's supposed to be, or that you are not with God the way that, can I tell you who moved? It wasn't God. We have messed up. We have come to the place, and you know what? I come to the place so many times that when I come to church that I'm not able to worship and praise and give God glory because I'm standing in so much need of help. And a lot of times it's because I haven't fellowshiped with God through the week. I haven't got down and tried to commune with God. I haven't read his word. I haven't prayed. I haven't done the things that I need to do to be right with God. And so I come to church and I'm in so much trouble myself that there's no possible way that I can worship God in the way that I need to be worshiping God. See, this is where we should be coming and getting rejuvenated as Christians. This is where we should come and we should be in a place that we're worshiping God and praising him and reloading that we may go out into a lost and a dying world throughout the week. But we have agreed this morning that any problem that we have is not too big for our God. Would you agree with me this morning that God is worthy of your praise, your honor, your glory, and your worship? Say amen. See, I like yes. I got a bunch of amens this morning. I'm going to tell all of them when I get home. You just wouldn't believe how many amens were said this morning at church. You just won't believe it. We're serving a great God. There is no God like into our God. We are serving a God that is worthy of our honor and our glory and our praise, that he has helped you this week. Hey, and I want to tell you something. If he never did anything else for me, the night that he reached down and forgave me of my sins, washed me white as snow, and gave me forgiveness that I may not have to go to a devil's hell, I tell you what, he deserves worshiping and praising for the rest of my life just for that. But he's done so much more. Now, that we've settled these things and you know all of these things. So now this is common knowledge to you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that we're all sinners, that if you need help from God, there's no problem too big for him, that God is worthy of our praise. Now, would you agree with this? That you are the only one that can allow those changes in your heart and life. Say amen.
Amen.
Look, we come to church and for some reason, I think I come to church and I think I'm supposed to preach a powerful message. I do. I want to preach a powerful message. I want to preach a message that gets into our hearts, into our lives, and that it stirs us and that helps us and helps us get right with God and that will point sinners to Jesus Christ. That's the kind of message I want to preach. But you know what? You already know everything that I could possibly preach. You already know that when you come in here that we're sinners. You already know that you need forgiveness. You already know that God is worthy. You already know that God can handle all of your problems. And we come in here and now you have an opportunity to take care of those things. And I want to ask us this morning, why do we not take care of those things? Why would we still leave in a shape where we're still needing help from God? Or why would we still leave and we're not worshiping God and praising God and honoring God with our life? Why would we come in here and we got a problem that we need God to handle and we won't let God handle? You are the only person that can change it. I can get up here and I can spit and stomp and stammer. I can do all of those things. I can run back and forth across through here. I can preach for an hour till I sweat to death. I can preach until I have no voice left. But I want to tell you, unless we're ready and willing to respond to the call of God, it won't do any good whatsoever. You know what you need from God right now. So why in the world won't we take care of what we need from God? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I don't know. I come this morning and I need help from God. I know I come in and I either need forgiveness of sin in my life. I've come in and I'm not giving God honor with my life. Preacher, I've come in and I've got a problem that I won't give to God. For some reason, I'm trying to handle this on my own. But I want that taken care of right now. Preacher, I don't want to carry that any longer. I need to take care of some stuff in my life. I knew I had it when I come in. And preacher, I don't want to leave with it. There's no music playing, but this altar's open. If you've got anything right now, look, it's up to you. I can't do it for you. You say, well, preacher, this is weird. You're giving an invitation at the beginning of the service. Why would we want to wait to get things right with God? Why would we want to sit here and not get things right with God? This altar is open right now. We're going to pray together in just a minute. Sure, I'm going to continue preaching in just a minute. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you came into this place knowing that you needed something for God, from God, right now is your opportunity. As we wait just a minute. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, I don't know why we come to the house of God and we know what we need in our lives. God, we know that we need forgiveness of sin. God, we know that we need to give you honor. God, we know that we got a problem that we need to give to you and we won't give it to you. So we come into the house of God and the only thing that we can focus on is ourself. And God, I pray that you'll help us as we're here today, that we'll give you those things, that we'll get forgiveness, that we'll honor you. God, that we'll use this opportunity as a time that we can reach out, that we can have our own needs met, so that we can focus on other needs that you have given us. God, I want to thank you and praise you for your presence that's here this morning. I ask you to continue to touch as we go through the rest of the message. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Jude, the book of Jude. If you want to know what chapter, then you need to study your Bible just a little more. But we're going to turn to the book of Jude this morning. Now look, all of that was said because of this. That wasn't just a game to get y'all to say amen. That wasn't just a game to get it. This is where we're at. We have to focus so much on our own spiritual life that we forget a great commission that God has given us. You know what? Sometimes, you know, I have spent this past week praying for my wife and focusing on her. And just, man, everything that I've said and done has been all about Autumn. And it's been about someone else. But there are times that even in our Christian life that we forget everybody else because we're in so much trouble ourselves or we're in such a shape spiritually ourselves that we can't help nobody else. But as we look at God's word and we look at when God saved our souls, that now we are Christians and being Christians means to be Christ-like. And there are very few times, I don't know if you can see any times, that Christ's focus was on himself. You could go to the garden and say, well, when he was in the garden that he prayed and he asked God to let this cup pass from me. But right after that, he began to pray for us because he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There are very few times that you can find anywhere in Scripture that Christ was focusing on himself. And we get to the place that in our Christian life, the only thing that we can do is focus on ourselves because we stay in trouble with sin. We stay in trouble with not giving God all of our troubles and all of our trials. We stay in trouble by not fully surrendering unto God. And it keeps us from doing what God has called us to do. So let's look in Jude chapter number 1, verse number 22. I want to read this verse of Scripture to you. I preached this verse of Scripture not too long ago when I preached a revival over at Westside. And this week, as I've been thinking about what to preach and what God would have us to look at, this is the only thing that I could get on my mind. So Jude 22, the Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." And if some have compassion, making a difference. This morning, I want us to look into our own spiritual lives. We have come to an agreement that we know all of these truths in God's Word. We know all of these things that we were talking about this morning. And we know how to make adjustments in our Christian life. And that should be as simple as us finding a place to get alone with God, to get sincere with God and say, "God, I need to fix all of this stuff." Or, "God, I need you to fix all of this stuff in my life. I'm surrendering it unto you. Now, God, help me not, I don't have to focus all on me, but let me have some compassion on some others." Because as we're trying to be Christ-like, there was so much compassion that Christ had for others. There was so much love that he had for others. And we know the greatest example of that is when he gave his life on the cross at Calvary, that he had so much compassion and love for you and I. But let's look at a couple examples in his lifetime that while he walked here on the earth, that he gave examples to us of how we should have compassion for others. The Bible says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Do you really want to make a difference in somebody else's life? Well, number one, we can't be so focused on ourselves all the time and make differences in other people's life. It has been amazing to me to how the church has responded to me and my family in the past week. There has been so much compassion and love shown that it's ridiculous. I can't even begin to describe it, and I won't even try. But as we have went through this past week and we have experienced the compassion and the love of Christ through our church members, I realized one thing, that you had to take time out of your day. You had to take time out of your problems. You took time away from your family in order to have compassion on my family. And this way, in our Christian life, we're going to have to get to a place to where we don't have to stay so focused on our walk with Christ. Now, I know that it takes a daily surrender. Even Paul said, "I die daily, and every day I have to take a look at my Christian life." But if we'll keep ourselves in the place that we're supposed to be with God, we won't have to stay so focused on our life that we can't have compassion for others, that we can't point others to the cross of Christ. So as we look at Jesus's life, I want to take an example. See, you look over in the book of Luke. Let me see what chapter it was. In the book of Luke, chapter number 19, we find the story of a little bitty fellow that was in the Bible. All of these are going to be very familiar. And as this little bitty fellow was walking around one day, his name was Zacchaeus. We know that from God's word that he was a tax collector. And not only was he a tax collector, but he was a rotten, crooked tax collector. That he was a thief and that he took more from people than what he was supposed to take. So I'm sure that he wasn't very liked here in the community. There was people who probably had fake friendships with him because they wanted either access to his wealth or they didn't want him to do them wrong, so they had fake friendships with him. There's a lot of those out there. But as we come to the day when Jesus is going to pass by, that Zacchaeus is curious enough that he wants to know who Jesus is, that he just wants to see Jesus. And as Jesus is passing by that way, we know that the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus goes out and that he climbs up in a sycamore tree. See, he's too short. He can't see over top of everybody, so he goes up, he climbs up in this sycamore tree that he might be able to see Jesus just as he passes by. He wasn't expecting any interaction with Jesus that day. He was just wanting to see Jesus. And you know what? There are so many people who are watching our lives day in and day out. They're not really expecting any interaction from you, but they are looking at your life to see what you have, to see if it's real or not. You have proclaimed to be a Christian. You have proclaimed that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to you. And they're watching your life day in and day out to see when you pass by whether or not it's real in your life or not. But as Zacchaeus climbs that tree, I want us to know that there was probably people in the town that day that looked up and said, "What's that old rotten fella doing up there? Why is he out here wanting to see when Jesus passes by? We all know he's a crook, he's a thief. I don't know why in the world he would even be out here." Probably people wouldn't have gotten out. You know, if he had been an important man in the day, people would have parted the way and let him come up to the front where he could see Jesus. But he knew he was going to have to make his own way in order to see Jesus. And I want you to know that probably some people in my life, there are people in my life who I think are rotten. There are people who I think they're crooked. There are people who I think, you know what, I really don't care because they don't care about anybody but themselves, just like old Zacchaeus. But I'm glad through the example that Jesus Christ gave us of how to have compassion on others, that Jesus went straight to that old sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was sitting, that Jesus walked right past him, that he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there?" See, he called him by name as he went by the tree. But so many times in my life, I am so focused on myself. I'm so focused on my own spiritual needs. Or either I am so focused on judging others for what they have done. Yes, I said judging others. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we get ideas in our mind about people. And we automatically either check them in or we mark them off whether or not they're worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. Shame on me. I need more than that. Shame on me that I mark people. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ given us example of compassion, that he went straight to that tree. He wasn't worried about what the crowd was going to say about him. He wasn't worried about whether anybody else thought this was okay or not. But he walked straight to that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for today I must abide at your house. Or in my words, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to your house, man. Me and you's got to talk. There's some things that I know you want to ask me. I'm going to show you a little compassion today. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, yeah, everybody began to talk. They couldn't figure out why in the world he would go home with a sinner. Why he would be there with that publican that had done everybody wrong. But the Bible also tells us that by Jesus going in and having compassion on Zacchaeus that day, that Zacchaeus' life was changed. That he come out and he said, God, forgive me. Anything that I have taken that's not mine, or anything that I have taken that I didn't take right, I will restore it unto everybody fourfold. And because Jesus had a little compassion that day, Zacchaeus' life was changed. I want to ask us, how long has it been since we had compassion on somebody that didn't deserve compassion? How long has it been since we've reached out and loved on somebody that nobody else would reach out and love on? How long has it been when we would reach out to somebody even though everybody else is going to talk bad about us and wonder what in the world we're doing down there? How long has it been since we showed that kind of compassion to a lost sinner? How long has it been? Well, see, most of the time I can't, because I'm having to focus on my own spiritual self. Because I'm having to focus on, why am I not right with God? But we established this morning that we know how to get those things right. When you say, well, preacher, that's a pretty good example. But let's look over Mark chapter number 5. Talking about compassion and Jesus' example. Do you really want to be like Jesus? Look, when we got saved, I know even at the age of 7, when I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ, when I got up from right there, I did not want sin in my life ever again. Has it happened? Yes, absolutely. But if I'm not careful, I get to the place now where it's not a big deal because I know God's going to forgive me. And I find myself where I can't have compassion on others. But in Mark chapter number 5, we find that there was a wild man living in a graveyard. Now, this man was so wild that the people in the town had already taken... Let's try this one time. Amen? Amen. Okay. I want to make sure y'all still with me. I mean, we stopped amening a long time ago. So... we find this man, he's in a graveyard. And he's out there and he is so wild that nobody can tame him. So they have taken him and they've put chains on him. And they've put him out here in the graveyard and he is so overcome with demons and with a bad spirit that he has broken the chains. He has broke loose and he's out there and the Bible tells us that he's running around and he's crying and he's cutting himself with stones. He's just wild. And you know what? I figure everybody in town was just thankful that he was staying out there in the graveyard. Everybody in town was like, you know what? We have done everything that we know to do. We have tried everything. There is no help for him. If we can just put him out there in that graveyard, and if he'll just stay out there and leave us alone, man, that's a good thing. Is there anybody in your life that you've done like that? Is there anybody in your life that you've tried to help them? That you've tried everything that you know of to help them get out of the mess that they're in? That you've tried to help, and you finally come to the place where you just said, you know what, if they'll just leave me alone, I'm good with that. But I want you to notice, when Jesus and the disciples crossed the sea one day, where's the first place he went? He went straight to the wild man. He went right straight out there in the graveyard. And this man, when he saw him, he came running to Jesus. And there are people in this world who are in a bad shape. Hey, if they felt that they could get out of that shape any way in the world, they would do it. They can't find an out. They can't find a way to get out of the position that they're in. So they're staying out here in the tombs. But when this man saw Jesus, he knew that somebody had come to see him. And he ran straight to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus went out. He had the conversation. I'm not going to go through all of the conversation. But he is out there. The Bible tells us that Jesus cast the demons out of him. And then where do you find that wild man next? He is clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because Jesus had compassion on him. See, you know what? I believe that there's a lot of people out here in this world that they're in a bad shape. They've got addictions. They've got things going on in their life. Hey, they've become thieves to try to feed their addiction. I'm not telling us that we got to become enablers of these people. There's a complete difference in being an enabler of somebody and having compassion on somebody. But instead, we use the excuse, you know what? Oh, I'm not going to enable them to do what they do. I don't want to be around them because I know they're wicked. I don't want to do this. And I don't want to do that. And you know what? We have shut compassion completely out of our lives. We have said, you know what? If they'll just stay out there, if they won't bother us, if they won't come into our services and cause a stink, if they won't come into our services and cause a commotion, then I'm just fine with that if they'll just stay out there. But I want you to know something. They need Jesus in their life. He is the only one that can make a difference in their life. He can take a wild man, put him in clothes, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus Christ can still do the very same thing today. I know that all these 10-step programs, all this rehab, some of that is very necessary. But the first step needs to be Jesus Christ in their life. And He can change their life. He can change who they are. And they can change the compassion that they have in their life also. Where are we at, church? Are we in a place that we're just saying, stay out there in the tombs. If you'll just stay out there and not bother us, that's good. Look, I'm not asking us to be ignorant. I'm not asking us to take a stance that we don't care about safety and we don't care about. I'm not asking for that. But I want to tell us this morning that we have become so, and I'm talking about me, we have become so concerned with coming in and just having a little church service. And we have become so concerned with, well, I gotta protect me and my family. Yes, you do. I understand that completely. We have become so concerned with, well, I'm not going to give any money to somebody that's going to take it and use it for this. And I understand that. There's ways around that too. But we have used all of that for an excuse to shut compassion out of our lives. And the church has quit making a difference. The church, I don't mean fellowship. I mean the body of Christ. We have quit making a difference in other people because compassion has been shut out. One more example and I'll be done this morning. There was a day that Jesus was leaving Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho, people were lined up along the side of the road. Again, very familiar scripture. As Jesus is going out and people are lined up on the side of the road as he's leaving Jericho, there's a blind man sitting there. And as Jesus passes by, this blind man knew that Jesus was his only hope. That Jesus was the one who could help him with his infirmity that could help him from being blind. And as he's sitting there that day, and as the people began to hear him cry out, and I'm sure that Bartimaeus sitting there that day, I'm sure that it wasn't just a, hey, Jesus, I'm over here. Hey, you know what? There are people in our lives that are crying out for the help of Jesus. They don't know that that's what they're crying out for. I mean, they're not sitting around going, oh, I need Jesus. But they're in a shape that they need help. They know they need help. They don't know where they need help from. But what's sad is the world is willing to reach out to them more than the church is nowadays. The world is reaching out with programs. The world is reaching out with this and that and the other things. And the church is just sitting back going, man, I hate that. That's a sad situation. And we're not having any compassion. See, it's the difference between having love and having compassion. I can tell you that I love you, but when I have compassion, I put my love into action. And as these people, as blind Bartimaeus is sitting there that day, I'm sure that he was crying out, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David. I'm sure his voice was raised and he was screaming, wanting help. And you know what everybody else was doing? Shh, be quiet. Don't disturb him. He's got important things to do. Well, church, if there ever gets to be anything more important than pointing lost sinners to Jesus Christ, we are in the wrong program. We need to pack it up. We need to go out here and let's just play cornhole and basketball and eat hot dogs and have a good time and fellowship that way and not even call us ourselves a church anymore. Because I want to tell you what, the main thing that the church needs to be doing is pointing others to Jesus Christ and taking Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. That's what we need to be doing. Hey, I'm all about having fun. I'm all about getting together, playing cards. I'm all about all of those things. But when we forget to have compassion on a lost and a dying world and showing people the love of Jesus Christ, then we are messing up. Maybe this preaching is all for me this morning. Maybe this preaching is, man, preacher, you need to get busy. You need to be having compassion on others and pointing others to the cross of Christ. But as blind Bartimaeus is sitting there that day and he's screaming out, and there are people all around us that are screaming out for the help from God, for the love of Christ in their life. They don't know that yet, but they're screaming out. And we have told them, shh, be quiet. Don't disrupt nothing. Shh. You know, sad to say, I'm glad our church doesn't fall in this category. But it's sad to say that there are churches, and I'm not bashing them, I'm just going to put out the facts. There are churches, if you don't have the right clothes on, don't come in. There are churches, if you don't have the right haircut, don't come in. There are churches, if you're not this and you're not that, then you're not welcome. Well, I want to tell you something. I believe that there are certain things that we should dress. There are certain things that we should do in the house of God, and there are certain things that we shouldn't. But let's get them to Jesus Christ, and then we'll let him take care of that from there. That's not my place to set those rules. The Holy Spirit will set those rules in your life for you. That's not up to me. But when we get to the place that we're so worried about somebody being disruptive, we're so worried about, well, they might say something out of the way. Well, I'm going to tell you what, by everything that we've admitted this morning that we know is truth and all those amens that y'all gave me a little while ago, we should be mature enough Christians that if someone did come in here and say something out of the way, we should be able to go, well, that wasn't right. We need to pray for him. Let it go. Done with that. He must need Jesus. She must need Jesus. But where is our compassion at? Here they was telling Bartimaeus, shh, be quiet. But I want you to look that Jesus went straight to him. He had compassion on him. He opened his eyes, and that the Bible tells us that he got up and received his sight. And it said, the Bible says, and he immediately received his sight. Listen to this. And follow Jesus in the way. That's what we need to be pointing people to. Alan was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. Our choir is awesome. Our special singing is awesome. Our church facility is awesome. I love it. I love what God's doing in this place right now. I love the way that we're coming together as a family. But let's not stay so focused on just us that we forget to have compassion out there. Let's not get to the place to where we're not concerned about people dying and going to hell. I'm excited that I'm going to heaven, but just as sure as heaven is real, there's a place called hell for people who have not accepted Jesus Christ. That should be our number one focus. And you can go on and on with the compassion that Jesus had. Jennifer, Hannah, if y'all will, come on. You can go on and on with the compassion that Jesus had. There was the woman at the well. There was the woman taken in the act of adultery. There was the woman with an issue of blood. There was Jairus' daughter who had died. There was the man at the Bethesda's pool. And you could go on and on, get into the Gospels and read about all the times that Jesus had compassion. But I want to tell you one even more personal than that. There was a night that I realized that I was lost, that I was on my way to a devil's hell, that I needed salvation, and Jesus Christ had compassion on me. See, you know what? Sometimes something that hinders our compassion is we think, well, what if it don't stick? Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus is going to stick. That is one thing I can guarantee you of. Now, they may have opportunities in and out of church or whatever, but Jesus is going to stick. But see, you know, the night that I got saved there in my living room up in my little house in Cana, the night that Jesus had compassion on me and forgave me of my sins, that he put me into the family of God, that he said, here, I want you to be one of my children. I want to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare that place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. The night that all of that compassion was given to me, you know what? He knew at the age of 7 that I was going to continue to sin. At the age of 15 that I was going to fall flat on my face. At the age of 19 that I would sin and I would come short of the glory of God. That while pastoring a church, that I would mess up and I would do things that I shouldn't do. And you know what? God still had compassion on me. The love of Christ was still given in my life. He still forgave me of my sins and brought me into the family of God. We don't need to worry about the results. We need to worry about the solution, and the solution is Jesus Christ. Where's our compassion at? As you stand to your feet this morning, Hannah's going to sing here in just a minute. I want to ask you, where is your compassion? Where is my compassion? First of all, do we have to stay so focused on ourselves that we can't have compassion on others? Or do we find ourselves in a place of judgment on others? Do we find ourselves in a place that we want others to just be quiet? Or are you just like me and for some reason I've shut compassion out of my life? Come to the place that me and my four, my church, that's what's important. Yeah, that's important. But these people out here that are lost and on their way to hell, that's more important than anything else. This altar's open. Maybe you need to come and pray for compassion this morning. Maybe there's somebody that's lost that you used to have compassion for, that you've lost that compassion for, and you just need to come and pray. Maybe whatever it is, I don't know your need. I don't know what's going on in your life. Or maybe just as a church, we can come together and say, God, make us a place of compassion that others may come to know Jesus Christ. Hannah, if you will, sing.
What you need, but you keep on searching. Done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. All who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Amen. I believe that's sufficient this morning. I tell you what, I want us to pray together as a church that God will give us the compassion that we need for our lost and dying world. Have compassion for one another. And if we'll get that right, God can take his place and do amazing things with it. Thank you for being here this morning. Again, I appreciate you for being here. If Corey met us, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?